Message. We are finishing our series on the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about Holy Spirit and prayer. Then we talked about Holy Spirit and water baptism. Last we talked about Holy Spirit and personal evangelism. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and Spirit baptism. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which has been the 40 days after Jesus was ascended into heaven. The Spirit was as we read in Acts 1 and 2, the Spirit was poured out on the church. And so that's what we're celebrating today is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to end on this, of talking about the Spirit baptism. You can turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be in a few passages, but turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We'll be there in 1 and 2. And so when we speak about the Holy Spirit, we were referring to God's personal, his personal Spirit. Now, sometimes people in the church, we misunderstand the Holy Spirit. You meet someone that says, man, the Holy Spirit's strange. That's just that weird thing those charismatics do up at that Pentecostal church on Sunday nights. You know, they swing from the chandeliers, they speak weird, they run around, hands up, or, you know, they go up and talk to people at Hy-Vee and say, I think God loves you and God has a word for you. You know, sometimes we understand the Holy Spirit as strange or even worse, which is even worse, dangerous. The Holy Spirit is dangerous. That we got to keep the Spirit contained right here. We got to keep it in this little box. Because Jesus is really it, and the Spirit was just this afterthought. And it's this dangerous, weird thing we don't understand. And I know many in this room, you know, laugh because that's not what we believe. But how many of you have encountered someone out there in Sioux City or in the church world that thinks that? Or thinks if you say, well, I believe in the Spirit or gifts the Spirit, they think, man, you're one of those crazy charismatics. Man, you're one of those Jesus people. Like, get back. Have you experienced? I've experienced plenty of those people. I've experienced people, those inside of a Assemblies of God church or a charismatic or a Pentecostal church. I've experienced those people. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tim. See? Right. Now, we're not better than anybody else because we believe in the gifts or we believe the gifts still operate. We're not better than anyone. But I want to talk to you today about the Spirit and what is the role of the Spirit in our life today as we end this series. There's at least 5 major encounters with the Holy Spirit in the person's life. And here these are. And once again, this will be able to, if you want to, I'm going to be going through this, but if you want, you can download the sermon notes on our website and go through this on your own to study it. But there's 5 major encounters in the Holy Spirit in the person's life. It's the beginning, convincing and convicting. There's the regeneration and cleansing, as it says in Titus, which we read today in our opening scripture. There's the indwelling, the assuring, and then guiding of the Spirit. There's the maturing and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then there's the empowering and the anointing part. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is the empowering and anointing part of the Holy Spirit, of what he wants to do in our life today. And so here's our text. Turn with me here to Acts chapter 1. You're going to see there's 3 texts here on our screen we're going to read through. So let's turn with me there. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And I'm reading out of the ESV translation. And it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them," meaning Jesus talking to the disciples, "not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then turn with me over to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 11 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And it says this: "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? For if he asks for an egg, will he give him scorpions? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Jesus, in these next few moments, we ask you to be here. We ask that you would speak and affirm your word, your holy word. And Jesus, we ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask to fill us again. Send your Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, on everyone here, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every kid in the nursery, every kid in Kids Point. We ask you, Jesus, to send your Spirit. And we know that you're a good Father. You're a good Father. And we know that you will bless us with your Spirit. And in Jesus, we pray this in your strong name. Amen and amen. On your screen here, it's something you can go over later. I'm not going to dive into this, but I want to just show you. In our walk as a disciple of Christ, there's water baptism and then there's a spirit baptism. And once again, there's a lot of similarities between water baptism and spirit baptism, but this is kind of some of the breakdowns, the main thing. And I wanted to highlight that at spirit baptism, it occurs after salvation, and it's for increased ministry power and anointing. It's commanded by Jesus, and it's drenched in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be diving into some of these. But you can go over that here later, but that'll be on the notes. But just wanted to show you, there's two comparisons with water baptism and spirit baptism. But let's dive into some points here. This week's theme is this, that the Holy Spirit empowers us with supernatural ability through the spirit baptism. How many of you today need the power of the Holy Spirit to get through today? To get through life. Come on. Man, life's tough. Some of you have been through things, man. I know some of your stories. You've been through some hard times in your life, through situations, sickness, health, relationships, vocational issues. The Spirit is there to empower us, to give a supernatural ability to live for Jesus, to be a witness beyond our natural learning and gifts and talents. The Spirit's there to guide us. Now, I want to, before I dive into a few points, this is going to be short. Today's message is going to be somewhat short because we're going to give time for us just to pray and seek the Holy Spirit. Time, as we sing in that last song, I will make room for you. A lot of times we don't make room for the Spirit to work in our lives. We get so programmed, so into our routines. We're in service, out of service, amen, sit, pray, and we're gone. And we don't give room for the Spirit just to work in our life. And I want to say this. Not everyone believes in the gifts of the Spirit or tongues, interpretations, prophecy. A lot of people don't believe that necessarily that tongues is the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the Assemblies of God and many charismatic denominations, it's called IPE, initial physical evidence of tongues. We believe that the tongues is speaking tongues is the initial physical evidence. Now, I'm not here to convince you today to believe necessarily that tongues is the initial physical evidence. You can believe that or you don't. But here's the thing. The gift of the spirits are real. They're in operation. They still happen. And whether you believe tongues is the initial physical evidence of someone being filled with the Spirit or not, tongues still happens. We're commanding that. Paul says he wishes that all would pray in tongues. God still uses tongues and interpretations. He still gives gifts of wisdom and knowledge. God thoughts, I would say, gives us God thoughts to go out to one another. He heals. He restores. So whether you may not believe in the doctrine, doesn't matter. The reality is the gifts of tongues, interpretations is still real. It happens. And so I want to remind us that the Spirit wants to use you. When you say, Holy Spirit, fill me, the byproduct are the gifts of the Spirit. Whether you think your doctrinal belief believes that or not, God's going to do that, and he fulfills that. And I want to remind you that a church or a denomination can say the gifts were for the New Testament church, and they ended when the apostles died. Whatever you believe doesn't really necessarily matter, because Scripture gives us proof beyond the apostles that the gifts were still working. And the church history shows us that the gifts of the Spirit were working and the baptism of the Spirit is true and moving on. Now, Scripture doesn't use those terms of initial physical evidence, but it does show a pattern of example, which we'll dive into, that the Holy Spirit comes in us and fills us and baptizes us. So let's dive in here. All right, let's dive in here. What is Spirit baptism? You might be here and you're like, Pastor Dan, okay, enough of what you're talking. What is Spirit baptism? What is it? Spirit baptism happens five times in the book of Acts, and they're listed here on your screen. The Spirit baptism was for everyone. It was already for those that had already been born again. They already were filled with the indwelling of the Spirit, but they had not been baptized. You keep hearing this word of Spirit baptism, and it links to water baptism. And water baptism, what happens when we get water baptized? Like what happened to Dan today is you get immersed, covered. Spirit baptism is this covering, this over, it's just not on the inside where we just keep it right here and we only bring it out every once in a while. Spirit baptism is the covering of us from head to toes to feet. It's the entire immersion of the Spirit in our life, over us, around us, behind us, on top of us, underneath of us. It is the Spirit around us. Jesus promised to take the same Holy Spirit who has lived inside of us since salvation and to drench you outwardly in his person and power. Now, we all know in our Christian walk, there's times we like to keep Jesus on the inside, right? Boy, when we go places and you're like, I don't want to get labeled as that Christian. I don't want to get, I'm just going to get in here and get out. I'm not going to tell people about Jesus because, boy, it might be offensive or you name it. Have you been there? I've been there. But when we are baptized in the Spirit, the Spirit's all over us. We'll say you should reek like the Spirit. You should be smelling like the Holy Spirit, like the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be over you, right? You ever been around somebody that puts on too much perfume, or that 13-year-old boy that sprays himself and Axe body spray at youth camp, you know, and impress the girls? You're like, whoo, buddy, you smell, man, you reek. But the Holy Spirit should be over us. When people get near us, they should be smelling the sweet presence, the aroma of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And when the Spirit baptizes us, it's all over us. It's not for a little compartmentalized part of our life when we come on Sunday mornings. It is for everyday life, wherever we're at. Let me put it to you here another way. I've got a picture here of water here. And a lot of times, even times in charismatic churches, we like say, oh, be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, speaking tongues, that's great. And then you bring it out when you're at church or whatever. But the Spirit comes in our life at salvation, right? The Spirit, as Paul writes, is the Holy Spirit is what the guarantee, the deposit of our faith, of our inheritance, of what's to come. But when we're baptized in the Spirit, this is us, this cup is us. When we're baptized in the Spirit, man, when I put this back in the water, the Spirit is the water. What happens to us? Man, we're covered in the Spirit. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not like the water just stays inside of us, the Spirit, but what happens? The Spirit immerses us in Himself and around us, and we're covered. Is this cup covered by the water? Yeah. Can this cup keep the Holy Spirit to a little part or just containment? No. This is why Scripture uses the metaphors of water baptism and Spirit baptism. It's so that we, as humans, we get it. That sometimes we're duh. As Jesus said to the disciples, do you not still get it yet? The Spirit baptism wants to fill us overflowing where we're submerged on top, underneath, all around us, right? The Spirit baptism isn't just, oh, we're going to just, you know, it's just that little munch inside of you. That's the Spirit. No, the Spirit overflows us. It fills us up at salvation. And then the Spirit baptism is to empower us, all areas of our life, to cover us in the Spirit. How many of you today need the Spirit to cover you in every area? Man, I do. In my mind, what I look at, what I say to Brother Tim, what I do with my finances, how I love my wife, do I treat my sisters in the faith? You know, you name it. We need the Spirit to surround us. And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit baptism does that to us. It overwhelms and immerses us in Himself. Secondly, who can receive the baptism, the Spirit baptism? I mean, is it just for us if you belong to a Pentecostal church? Well, the answer is no. Can you be in South Sioux City and receive the Spirit? You can. Can you be in North Sioux City? You can. I mean, you name the place. I mean, the Spirit's everywhere. Anybody can receive the Spirit. The Spirit baptism is promised to every follower of Jesus by both Jesus and Peter. Look at Acts 1:4 here. Turn with me. You're going to be doing some scripture hopping here with your fingers here. Look at Acts 1:4-5. Let's read it again. Jesus said, he told them, while you're staying with him, he ordered, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise for which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, James, and John, only you guys, you're the special elite. You're the army rangers of the Spirit. Only you get the baptism. He said, everybody gets the baptism. And then turn with me over to Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. And it says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Amen. Amen. That phrase there, when Peter, through the inspiration of the Spirit, says this, he says, for those who are far off, whom the Lord calls, that refers back to Psalms. If you remember in Psalms, David writes, he says that, and Isaiah writes too, that the Spirit of God will go off to all the far nations, the islands people, all to every nation. In the Old Testament, it was already predicting and showing, prophesying that the Spirit would be for everyone. So this is right here is for everybody. And as someone said it in our prayer time, I think it might have been you, Sarah, but we are not special. We're not special. We're not better than anybody else. The Spirit chooses everyone. As long as we say, I surrender and I make room for you, the Spirit will use any vessel. We're not special because we belong to a charismatic Pentecostal church or a theology leans towards the Spirit church. All you and I have done is we've just said, Holy Spirit, I surrender. And any believer in any church, anywhere, it says, God, I surrender. Holy Spirit, fill me. I need you. The Spirit's like, man, I'm there. I'll baptize you. I'll submerge you in there. Salvation is the only prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to be smart or tall, have a head full of hair. The Spirit's like, I'll baptize you if you call on my name. The young, the old, the males, the females, the kids, the servants, you name it. The grandfathers, the grandmothers, the widows. The Spirit, man, will baptize everybody. He's an equal opportunity baptizer. He'll baptize anybody. As long as you say, I'm open, boom, he's going to come. Isn't that great for us? Anyone can receive the Spirit. God is not looking, I'm going to say this, some of us, and if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Spirit, God is not looking for you to be spiritual first to receive. He just says, surrender and be open, and then he'll make you more spiritual. He'll guide you and mature you in all things with that. Next up, how can I be sure that I've received the baptism? That's a great question. How can you be sure? Well, Scriptures gives us a consistent answer through the book of Acts. It's this, is that you'll begin to pray in a new language as the Holy Spirit prompts you. That's the example that we see when it says that they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in new tongues. That's one recognition of that. Wherever the details are mentioned in Acts, we see that tongues was there. Now I'm not here to say or argue or say you're not filled with the Spirit. I get sometimes asked, Pastor Dan, I've been praying for years and I haven't spoken tongues. Am I baptized in the Spirit? Now that's a whole other conversation we can get into. I'm not here to make that claim that you don't have the Spirit or you may not be filled with the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, I believe, come from that immersion of the Spirit. But we do see the example in Acts that when you're filled with the Spirit, there is that gifting of tongues. And so, but today's message isn't about that, diving into the weeds there with that. It's about saying, hey, if you're open to the Spirit, the Spirit's going to move in your life. He's going to give you gifts and talents and using words of wisdom and knowledge, prophecy, and tongues, interpretations, stuff like that. I want to highlight a couple things. That the tongues we're talking about today, that we're talking about the baptism, it's not the public gift of tongues, interpretation from 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about, but it's rather this, the personal prayer to his tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying before God, where the Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know what to pray, as it says in Romans 8. And then also, Paul says that not everyone will speak publicly in tongues. Sometimes that can be a false belief in Pentecost churches, where if God fills me with the Spirit and I speak in tongues, that I've got to be using the public arena for tongues interpretations. That's just not true. And it's in 1 Corinthians 12, you can read that, where Paul talks about that. But he does encourage everyone to pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. And that's what we're talking about. It's just that personal experience between you and the Holy Spirit where you receive the gift of tongues and speaking like that. And that's what the baptism is, what we're talking about today. And the day of Pentecost celebrates where the Spirit fell in the church and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there's a few logical reasons that we can surmise that tongue speaking is associated with the confirming sign of Spirit baptism. Now these are things we can see as we read through Scripture. A few things I would submit to you is this, that speaking is our chief means of communication. Think about Jesus. Think about God the Father. When God spoke, and what happened? Poof. The world came into existence. So speaking, it seems to be, from the New Testament, Paul says that it's hard for us to tame our tongues. And so it seems to be that's a chief means of communication. Secondly, the main outcome of the Spirit baptism is empowered communication. Now, I want to be very clear. The goal of Spirit baptism is not that we could all speak in tongues and speak in a new language. What does Acts 1:8 say? That you will be filled with the Spirit and be empowered so that you will be my witnesses. Right? Too many times the Christian church, the Assemblies of God, we've got all twisted up in the game. That's about, man, it's a good Sunday. As long as we all speak in tongues, it's a good Sunday. But we can go 6 days and not share the gospel with anybody. Church, that's a darn shame. That's a sin. I would say that's idolatry. We are worshiping the gift and not the one who gives the gifts. And what's the purpose of the gift? The purpose of the gift is to be empowered communication to be a witness. All right? Now, I'm all for gifts of tongues, prophecy, discernment, healings. But church, we're not going to worship those things. We're not going to lift those things up. Paul says, desire the great gifts. Desire, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And we will. And we affirm the gifts in this church. But we are not going to worship the gifts. I'm not going to worship someone that they have this gift. Last week, some of you were here. Pastor Doug was here. Doug Bryce, who grew up here, Diet's son. And I told Doug, I said, you know what? I celebrate. God has got a gift of prophecy and just spiritual gifts of discernment. You go up and talk to people. I said, man, I celebrate that gift. And Doug came up and talked, shared me some things that were right, that spoke to me that I had written in my journal this week. No one else would have known. But the Spirit used Doug and his gift to speak to me. Now, Doug and I didn't say, woo, man, that's an awesome gift. We worship the gift. No, we say, God, man, you empower your people to communicate, to draw us closer to Jesus. And that is the goal of the gift. Thirdly, all humans struggle to control our own tongues, as James writes in James 3. So I think it's another reason why tongues, it's that surrender. I surrender the control of my tongue. And we all know we need to do that more. And lastly, the last thing we surrender is our freedom of speech. Most times in our life, in our marriages, with our spouses, with our kids, with our boss and our job place, a lot of times we surrender is our freedom of speech. And that's the hardest thing for us because we've got to have the final word. You ever been that? I'm going to get the final word in this argument. By goodness, I'm going to save my peace. My grandfather was from West Virginia, the hills, West Virginia, and he said, I'm going to save my peace. And that didn't mean always a good thing. It could either mean belittling you or cussing at you or just destroying you. And I think God, through the Spirit baptism, reminds us that we are to surrender our gift of communication to the Lord and let him do a new thing in us. Spirit baptism is a free gift. Acts 2:8 shows us that. It's free gifts are not earned, but simply received. Sometimes in our Christian walk, when we want God to use us, we want God to bestow us with greater spiritual gifts, we strive so hard. How many of you on Christmas morning did you beg your parents for a gift? Did you go, oh, please, Mom and Dad, give me a gift. Oh, please. What usually happened in most homes, the gifts were already there. And what were Mom and Dad doing? Man, have at it, kids. Come on. Tear into them. God, our Father, is a generous God. He gave the Spirit to all those that say, Holy Spirit, come fill me. And that's what we read that verse in Luke about how Jesus said, our God's not a God who gives scorpions when we ask for eggs or for bread. He's a God that provides us with good things. And that's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants to provide you with good things, to take you beyond your natural gifts and talents, to use you to spread the hope of Jesus to everyone. When we yield our speech to God, the Holy Spirit will do amazing things through us. And if we had time today, we could read through all the books of Acts, the stories of Acts. But church, we if you've read it, you know that when the people surrendered to the Holy Spirit, man, the early church, the ancient Near East, that Middle East was changed. And you and I are the recipients today of the gospel because those people surrendered to the Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, fill me. And he came and he did a new work in the church at that time. The physical part of speaking in tongues and being used in the Spirit is just a yielding and participation. Just saying, God, here I am, use me. God, here I am, use me. And so how do I receive the Spirit? How do you receive the Spirit? I want to tell us that there is no check off. You can't control God. You can't control the Spirit. There's nothing that we see in Scripture that says you do this and that and boom, God has to do this. But there is a pattern in Acts we see, and here's what I would submit to us. First is draw near to Jesus in prayer. We see most times when the Spirit was poured out, people were praying or they were gathered together, they were worshiping and praying or in prayer saying, Holy Spirit, you know, come, Jesus, fill us. Secondly, we see an emerging pattern is that when you start praying and draw near to Jesus in prayer, is that Jesus will begin to pour out a Spirit upon you. And that can look like, it can look like peace in your heart, mind. Some people say, I feel just like a sensation. I feel warm. I feel at peace. I feel almost kind of grounded. I feel just calm. I feel like the fear is gone. And many of you that have been baptized in the Spirit or experienced God using you, you know when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, I don't have the words to describe it, but it's almost like you can feel that calming Spirit of the Father with you, of the Spirit that energizes inside of you. And then lastly, the pattern is that you begin to speak out loud from an inner urging of the Spirit rather than your known language or reason. If those that have been baptized in the Spirit, you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you, and when you start praying out loud, there's almost like this inner urging. You start praying, and you don't know where it's coming. You ever been there? You start praying, and you're like, man, where did that come from, that request? Or you start praying, and you start interceding for someone, and you're like, well, where did that come from? That is the Spirit coming inside of us, praying with the Spirit, coming in to lead us and guide us when words and our own words and thoughts just can't, as Paul writes, we can't express it with just the right words. It's those inner groanings and urgings of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes in us, and when we start speaking, it just kind of comes out. Now, I wish there was a simple rubric. You do this, this, and this. And once again, receiving a gift is free. You can't demand the gift. You can't say, okay, I want it wrapped up in this size box with this colored, you know, paper, and I want it delivered at 8 a.m. on this day, and right? When we receive a gift, have you ever demanded a gift? And it's, you know, no. When someone brings you a gift, it's given to you at a surprise and in the giver's control and power. And the Spirit wants to baptize us today, but it's all in his terms.